you will, open your Bibles with me this morning to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. It'll be the first 25 verses this morning, and digging into God's Word. And as we prepare our hearts for His Word this morning, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. I want to lead us into a prayer time this morning as we think about and prepare for what God's Word has to say to us today. As we lead into this time of prayer, I just want you to answer this question in your heart right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. What is the condition of your heart? What's the condition of your heart? Maybe it's a little hard right now. Worship so far hasn't had any real effect on you. Maybe there's no real interest day in and day out. There's no real interest in this past week. There's no real interest this morning, really, in what God's Word has to say. Maybe, though, there is some interest. Maybe you're interested this morning in what God's Word has to say. You're hoping it'll be something interesting, maybe humorous. But you're easily distracted. Maybe at this moment right now you're thinking of something else other than these questions that I'm asking you to examine your heart over. You're interested but distracted. Maybe you're just ready to be here but to move on to what's next today. Or is the condition of your heart right now broken and available? Is it hungry and ready for God to plant His truth deep in your life? What is the condition of your heart? Because you see, the work of God's Word in your life, it's connected to the condition of your heart. Father, in this room this morning, today, we pray for hearts that are broken. Pray for hearts that are tilled up and available and ready for you to plant your word deep in our lives. It won't just be something that's surface level, but it'll penetrate deeply who we are and change the core of our identity in Christ. We pray for brokenness, Lord, for your glory and your work in our lives. We pray for humility, Father, that you can use for your work in our hearts. We pray, God, today that we would be available and open to you. And we pray, God, today that you would speak to us through your precious and powerful word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, the work of God's word in your life is connected to the condition of your heart. And today we're going to see this in just a powerful way in the words of Christ. Up to this point in the Gospel of Mark, we've seen Jesus teach on many different things. We've seen this, but the thing about it is, as we've seen him teach and we've seen him heal and we've seen him do all these things, we've seen consistently that the priority of his ministry and what he protected most of all was this work of the Word, this work of proclaiming and teaching the Word of God, of making disciples. And what's interesting is, up to this point in the Gospel of Mark, every time that we've seen Jesus teach something, it's been in response to something. It's been in response to something someone's done or a question someone's asked him, a situation that's happened. It's talked about Jesus preaching and teaching the Word over and over and over again, but we haven't really seen that. We've seen glimpses of him responding to certain situations. Today, though, in Mark chapter 4, we actually get to see that. We actually get to see Jesus in action doing the teaching and the preaching of his ministry. We get to see that unfold. He's not responding to a question that's been asked. He's not responding to a specific situation that's occurred, but he's teaching God's word, his ministry. And what's great is this, what we're going to see is this, that what Jesus teaches about is so foundational. It's so fundamental to the work of God's word in this world. He's laying this foundation that we've got to have before we can move on to continue to receive, be changed and transformed by the power of the words of Jesus Christ in our lives. So let's dig into God's Word this morning. Chapter 4, verse 1. And I'm going to walk through just the first 14 verses as sort of way of introduction to where we're going to be this morning. And we're going to spend the rest of the time in verses 15 through 25 unpacking some facts about how God's Word works in this world. So let's go to God's Word today. Follow along as I read from the Word of the Lord. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and they said to him, and he said to them, "To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" I want to stop just right there for just a minute, because what we see is this beautiful picture of Jesus teaching. He's teaching, he's doing his ministry of proclaiming the Word of God, and he's teaching in parables, and the one that it picks out is a critical one. It's a foundational one. It's the one we've got to get before we move any further into understanding God's Word. He teaches about this parable of the sower, the seed that falls on different kind of ground and what happens there. And it's something that everybody would understand, right? I mean, all the people there would understand seed on the path, that's just going to be picked up and eaten by birds and other things. And it's not going to grow on this hardened path that's trotted on, that's walked on by feet and other things every single day, rolled things along. It's not going to grow there. The seed on the rocky ground, they understand, well, it may come up quick, but there's nothing there. There's no depth of soil. There's no moisture there to sustain it. And they understand that. And the thorns would come up and would choke down the seed that's planted among the thorns. And it's only in the good soil, the really good soil that's good for seed, that the seed can really flourish and grow, or can really bear fruit. Not just a little bit of fruit, but lots of fruit in the good soil. They understood all of this. Agriculturally, they connected with this. But when they walked away, the disciples that were around, along with the 12, were asking Jesus, "What does this mean?" Right? They're thinking that. And Jesus, he says some interesting things to him. He says, "To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables." We're going to unpack this more, but basically Jesus is saying this: for you, for those who are on the inside, for those who are with me in their lives, who are following me in their lives, it's been given to you the knowledge of the kingdom of God, the understanding of these things. But to those who are on the outside, who aren't with me, in other words, who aren't following me, he says some hard words, quoting from the Old Testament, that they may indeed see but not perceive, they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to him, "Do you not understand this parable?" And then here's the key. The next question he asks, "How then will you understand all the parables?" Underline that. Mark that in your Bible, because what Jesus is saying is this. This parable is fundamental to understanding how God's Word works in this world. You can't understand God's Word unless you understand this parable. It's essential to understanding the work of God's Word in this world. And so, in His grace, He begins to unpack it. Verse 14, the sower sows the Word. It's a picture that this parable is connected to the Word of God in this world, the work of God's Word in this world. And then He says this. He begins to lay out the explanation of the parable. And in this gives us some incredible facts about how God's Word works in this world. And if you're taking notes this morning, and I hope and I pray that you are, I want you to write this down, okay? The very first fact that I want us to focus on is this. The fact that Satan fights against the work of God's Word. Satan fights against the work of God's Word. In verse 15, Jesus says this. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. In other words, what he's saying is this. For those whose hearts are hard, like this trodden path that's beat down in it, and the dirt is compacted, and it's hard as concrete, it's hard as rock, for those whose hardened hearts are like that, when the word is heard by them, it's easy pickings for Satan. And Satan is at work. The work of God's Word in this world is a spiritual battle. Listen to me. This is not an intellectual exercise. This is a spiritual battle. It is spiritual warfare. And Satan is fighting against the work of God's Word in this world. And for hearts that are hard, it's easy picking. It's like seed on the pathway. All he's got to do is reach down and grab it, because it hasn't penetrated. It hasn't gotten into their lives. It hasn't gone in beyond just the surface level of hearing what God has to say. So for Satan, this is great. This is easy. This is good. For hearts that are hard against God and against His Word, that are mad at God for whatever, and blame God for things that have happened in their lives and in this world, for hearts that are resistant to God in those ways, Satan just snatches God's Word away. You know, this has been Satan's plan from the very beginning. You realize this, right? This is the work of Satan from the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, he told them what? He said, you may eat of any of the fruit. All this fruit in the garden is yours, but just don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, surely you will die. And what did Satan do? He comes right along, right behind God to Adam and Eve. And he comes to Eve and he asks this one question. He asks what, right? Did God really say, surely you won't die? Begin to snatch God's Word. Begin to call into question the trustworthiness and truth of God's Word. Begin to call into question the message and the motive of God's Word. And snatch that truth out. He's still doing that today. This is still his work today in this world. To deceive us and to destroy the truth of God's Word and the message of God's Word in our lives and in our hearts, to snatch it away, to create distrust so he can remove it before it gets planted into our hearts. For those with hardened hearts against God, this is easy work. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody who's just really mad at you for something? Mad about something? They don't trust you because of that? We've all had those conversations, haven't we? And they can be so frustrating, can't they? Because you say something and you, in your heart, mean it one way, but then they take it and they twist it around to say you meant something else and your motive was something else. And isn't that just so frustrating? It's just so infuriating when somebody's just resisting you in that way and angry and all of your words, they don't trust them and they don't believe them and they twist them around. Can you imagine how God feels when the people He created, the people He sent His Son to die on a cross for, resist His truth, twist His words? For Satan, he loves that. Because he's at work in this world to destroy the work of God's word in this world. And the easiest picking, the easiest ones to grab it and snatch it away from, are those with hearts that are hardened and resistant to the Lord. So pray for hearts to be broken. Pray for hearts to be broken and to be good soil. Pray for God to bind up Satan and to guard and defend against his work, to steal his word, God's word, away from those in this world that hear it in their lives. Pray for this work. And if in your life you are this right now, and you realize you're this, God's word just doesn't seem to even penetrate because Satan's steady snatching it away, then understand it's not an intellectual matter, but it's a heart matter. Let God break your heart today. Surrender your heart for Jesus Christ today so that He can till the soil of your heart and plant His word deep in your soul. This is one of the first facts we've got to get about the work of God's word in this world. It's that it's spiritual warfare, and Satan is working hard against it. But he's also working in some other ways that touch us maybe more day to day in our lives. The second fact I want you to see about God's work, the work of God's word in this world, is this. Social pressures and fears fight against the work of God's word. Social pressures and fears fight against the work of God's word. Look at verse 16 with me. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So there's not just the ones that are hardened to the word that Satan can grab it away from, but there's those who are eager to hear the word. I mean, they receive it with joy. They hear the word of God initially, and man, this sounds good. Amen to that. And I want that in my life. But then as soon as they walk away, you see, it's just sort of in the surface level. It's just sort of hit them on an intellectual level. They've said, yeah, I that makes sense, and I want that. But it hasn't hit them on a heart level. It hasn't taken root in their lives. So as soon as they walk away, what it says is this. As soon as they encounter any sort of tribulation or persecution because of the word, on account of the word of God, then immediately they let it go. And why not? I mean, why would they keep it if it's just loosely connected to their lives, if it hasn't deeply penetrated their souls and changed the core of who they are to where their identity is connected intimately with Christ and they understand that and that is who they are? Then why not? As soon as trouble comes because of the word, as soon as they realize, man, this sounded good, but this, you know, this doesn't really play out in my life. This isn't the way the world seems to work around me. I'm just going to forget about that. I'm going to let that go. They let it go. I call this the social pressures and fears. And in a real way, this is This is happening in extreme, powerful ways all over this world. But in our lives, it happens here in our country. I mean, you just think about how Satan is using this right now in our country to destroy the work of God's Word in the lives of people in our nation. Just think about it. From same-sex marriage to gender identity issues to euthanasia, assisted suicide to abortion, to all of these different things that our country has gone through and our country is redefined, and our culture says you got to accept these things, and if you don't accept these things, you're hateful and you're a bigot, and all of these things. You can't stand on the truth of God's Word because it's old and it's ancient and it's not really relevant to life today, and it doesn't connect with the realities of how things should be. And all of a sudden we're faced with social pressures that create fears in our heart and our life in standing up on God's Word, in living our lives in faith on what His Word says above everything else that we hear in this world. And Satan loves this. He loves it because he knows that those whose lives haven't been radically rooted in Christ, who haven't been radically identified by Jesus Christ and the glorious gospel that saved them for eternity, are likely not to stand up when the pressures and fears hit, but will let it go. And that's what our culture's done in America. We've compartmentalized our faith. This is something for Sunday and personal life. That's your personal matter. Don't take it into the public arena. Don't take it into your workplace. And here's the rest of your life. I got news for you. God's Word says that's not the way it works. That is nothing unless Jesus is everything. I want you to go, if there's seats still available, to the movie that I told you about last week, The Insanity of God. It's playing Tuesday night in two theaters in Baton Rouge. I don't know if seats are available, but go online tonight. If they are, buy them. Go, 7 o'clock Tuesday night. I got to see that movie this past week, and I got to meet and talk with Ruth and Nick Ripken, who the movie is about. And let me tell you, it will strengthen your soul and your commitment to live for the gospel in this world when you see what our brothers and sisters in Christ stand up to in facing the pressures and fears, the tribulations and trials on account of the Word of God. It'll strengthen you in this battle for God's Word in our lives. The enemy will try to use whatever he can to dry up our faith and dissolve our courage and our obedience. And social pressures and fears are one of the ways he does it. Third fact about the way that God's Word works in this world is this: personal desires and comforts fight against the work of God's Word. Personal desires and comforts fight against the work of God's Word. Read verse 18 and 19 with me. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. What Jesus says is this: Satan's not only fighting against God's word by snatching away from those hard hearts, he's not only using tribulation and persecution against the word and social pressures and fears to make people abandon and let the word go in their lives and not live boldly and courageously in faith in Jesus Christ. But he's also using some other things that maybe hit us a little bit harder and hit all of us a little bit more powerfully in our lives, tangibly in our lives. It's personal desires and comforts. You know, this world is full of cares and worries and wants. And those things can very quickly occupy our hearts and our minds and distract us from our faith. And they can pull us away from living in faith on God and trust in Him. And we can be consumed with trying to do things on our own and deal with all the cares and the worries and fix all the problems and be consumed with all those things that this world throws at us. This world is full of the deceitfulness of riches. I mean, that's the way the world operates. This is the message of the world, that riches and stuff is what it's all about. That we can fill our lives, and if we get enough stuff and if we get enough riches, then it will bring true satisfaction and fulfillment in our lives, and it'll meet our deepest needs, and it'll give us all the things we want, the power and the control over all the cares and the worries in life. And the enemy loves that lie because we're so susceptible to believing that lie in our lives. And the world is full of things that tell us and ways that we're tempted to put other things alongside of or before Jesus Christ. The world loves to tell us we need more than just Jesus. We need more than just Jesus. So Satan, if he can't use persecution and tribulation, he loves to just use wealth and stuff in this world and the cares and worries of life to distract us and dissuade us and pull us away from living boldly and courageously for Jesus Christ and allowing the words of Christ to grow fruitfully in our lives and produce the fruit of Christ in and through us in this world. Satan loves it. And in our country, he's using it like crazy. And I am guilty of this. Satan uses this in my life. I remember last year when I was on the South Sudan-Uganda border, the power and water hardly was ever on. It only flipped on every few minutes during the day and right back off. And we were there for 2.5 weeks. And by the end of it, the last morning I got up, I was getting ready. And while I was soaked up that morning, washing up, the power and the water went off. And I just said, I am ready to go. Get me back home. What a horribly selfish thing to feel and think when there's over 2.8 billion people on the earth today, at least, who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, and billions more heading to eternal hell if they die today. So don't let personal desires and comforts fight against the work of God's word in your life. Don't be scared of losing something in this life and lose what God has for us in abundant life in this world. So these are the ways that the enemy fights against the word of God. We need to know how the battle is being fought so we can fight against it. We need to know the tactics of the enemy so we can see it and call it for what it is and guard against it in our lives and the lives of others. We need to understand this, and this is why Jesus teaches this so clearly to us, because it's so foundational for us, for the work of God in our lives today. We need to understand how the enemy is at work in this world fighting against it. But we also need to see this, and we need to understand this. If you're taking notes, the fourth thing is this. The fourth fact is this, that God wins the fight against His Word. God wins the fight against His Word in lives that accept and obey His Word. God wins it in a victorious, incredible, amazing, wonderful way. Every time in the lives of those who accept and obey His Word. In verse 20 it says this, but those that are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the Word and they accept it. In other words, they receive it, they take it in. It's not just surface level to them, it's not just intellectual, but it's deep into them. They receive it in their hearts, broken, the truth and the Word of God. And they are the ones who hear the Word, they accept the Word, and they bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Look at that picture of God's victory. I want you to see that. While the defeat of Satan is one life at a time, God's victory is this. It's not just one life at a time, but it's 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold. It's unbelievable what God can do in the life of one who is willing to accept His Word in faith and obey His Word in faith so that it produces the fruit of God's Word in their lives. It's unbelievable. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. The victory that we have in Christ through faith in Him and His Word and its work in our lives. And the key here is the bearing the fruit of God in our lives. You know, at the meeting this past week, we met some incredible people. And one guy that I met had an amazing story he shared with me about growing up. He was Muslim, and in his teenage years, he went with a friend to meet two girls who spoke English. And so they encountered these two girls, and they thought they were just, I probably thought they were going to, you know, find a date or something, see how that would go. But they ended up, the two girls took them into a church, and there was a guy there that shared the gospel with these guys. They gave him a New Testament, and the one guy I was talking to, he said, I took that New Testament, I threw it on the ground, trash can, near the door. I spit at them. I told them I would never have their corrupted Bible. And he left. And he told me his story over the next few years of how God had worked in his life and how he had begun to question his faith, his Islamic faith. And he had actually gone and ended up a couple of years later buying another New Testament because he remembered that New Testament they gave him, and he began to read the New Testament, and he said God just began to work in his heart and his life, and he had all these questions and all these thoughts. So he went back to that church 3 years later. 3 years later, he went back to that church. He didn't know if the people were still there or what was going on, and here's what happened. He said, when I walked in the door, they were praying for me by my name. These one or two missionaries that led to the salvation and God's work in this one man's life, and then the hundreds and thousands of people that he's touched since then for the glory of God. Listen to me. God works in this way overseas. He works in this way here today in our lives. He can work this way in your life. If you just accept His Word and obey it in your life, live on it in your life, and He will produce fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold for His glory and His work in this world. This is the way that God's Word works in this world. And this is why Jesus ends. He wraps this up with these final verses that are connected to all of this. They're important to all of this. And they lead to the last fact I want us to think about in all of this. And it's simply this, that obedience to God's Word demands generously sharing His Word. Here's how Jesus ends. Verse 21 through 25. Listen to these words. They connect to what He's just said. And He said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Jesus provides a picture of what fruit bearing looks like, what the keys to fruit bearing are in these verses. And they include two things. The first one is this. We bear fruit when we share and show what God's Word is doing in our life. That's the lamp parable, right? Who brings a lamp in the house to hide it? I mean, the whole point of the lamp is to put it on the stand so that it shines light for all to see. In other words, Jesus is saying the whole point of God's Word in your life is not for you to just hide it into your heart, not just to bury it down and say, oh, thank you, Lord, for doing that in my life. What an amazing thing. You changed this in my heart. And I'm never going to let anybody know about it because I'm embarrassed about that and I can't believe that ever existed in my life. The whole point is to let it shine. To share the words that God has used and worked in your life with those around you, and to share with those around you what God is doing in your life. The whole point is to share. That's how His work gets done and the Word spreads and the gospel advances in this world, is when we share what God is doing in our lives. And then the second part of it is this. He says, you know, with the measure you use, it's going to be measured back to you. And to the one that has, more will be given, but the one who does not have, what he has will be taken away. In other words, what he's saying is this. This is the way that God's Word works. If you don't share it, if you're not generous with what God gives you, then it's going to be taken away. It's going to dry up. You want to be filled up with God's Word? You want to be just on fire with God's Word? You want to just be overwhelmed by the glory of God's Word and the work of His Word in your life? Here's what you need to do. Share it generously with people around you. Share your life and what God is doing with those around you. Don't hide it. Don't put it under the bed or hide it in under a bushel, but put it on the stand for all to see for the glory of God. Share generously the work of His Word in your life. And what it says is this, for those who do that, the measure you use is going to be measured back to you. In other words, the picture here is this, that God fills us up. God gives generously to us when we are giving generously what He gives to us. This is how God's Word works in this world. So how are you letting your light shine? How are you showing and sharing what God is doing in your life? How are you using generously what He's given to you for His work in this world? Because remember, when we do that, there's nothing stopping what God can do and what He will do in and through your life. So what's the condition of your heart? There is no rocky ground that can't be broken, tilled up. There's no thorny place that can't be cleared and cleaned out. Today, if God's Word isn't settling right with you, understand it's not His Word. It's your heart. Let God break your heart. Let God plant His Word deep in your soul today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Today, as we prepare for this time of invitation, I want you to just be honest with yourself, be honest with God about the condition of your heart. Maybe you know your heart's hardened for some reason and God's Word just hasn't even touched the surface. Satan's been stealing it away. Maybe you know that maybe at work or at home or at school, you've just been sort of running away from the trouble that God's Word and living for Him causes. Maybe you know that you've let the comforts and pleasures of this world, the desires of things in this world, replace Jesus as the one that's sufficient in your life. If that's you today, then I want to pray for you. Father, I just pray for these in this room. I pray for all of us. God, you would bind up and defeat the work of Satan in our lives. We pray for, God, your victory over temptation in our hearts. We pray, God, that you would have your way and your will, and your word would have its work in our lives. And God, we pray for that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you would break and till up the soil of all of our hearts. Make us good soil, Father, to receive your word, to bear fruit for you. Lord, do that work in our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. Perhaps you're here today, though, and you'd say, Joel, I'm hearing this message, and the truth is, I don't know that I've ever really received God's word like that. I don't know that I'm a believer. I don't know today if I died, I wouldn't be counted in that list of billions of people who are heading to hell. If that's you today and you're not sure, I want you to know this, you can be sure today. God's word tells us that we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death, eternal separation from God and hell. But it also tells us this, that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That he loved you so much that even while you were a sinner, he sent Jesus to die for you. And that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the one in charge in your life, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, God's word says this, you will be saved. And if that's you today and you've never done that, I just plead with you to do that right now, right in this moment. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Make him Lord in your life. Turn to follow him and receive his forgiveness and his salvation. Receive the gift of eternal life. Father, we thank you for that gift. We worship you today because you're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of everything because you are the one who gives life and gives eternal life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.